Good morning. This is the House Fishery Committee, and we will come to order at 10:08 a.m. in room 120. Today is Tuesday, March 24th, 2016. Member present are Representative Ortiz, Representative Foster, Representative Millett, and myself, Chair Stute. Representative Heron has previously been excused. Let the record reflect we do have a quorum to conduct business. We are joined by Kelly Burnett from House Records, Jessica Honlin from the LIO, and of course, my trusty Fisheries Committee aide, Reed Harris. We have a number of appointments to hear today. Renee Allward for the Fisherman's Fund Advisory Panel, and Israel Payton and Robert Ruffner for the Board of Fisheries. Please note that recommendations from this committee do not ensure supporting votes from committee members in a joint session. First up is Renee Allward for the Fisherman's Fund Advisory Panel. Ms. Allward, please state your name for the record and begin your presentation.
My name is Renee Allward. Good morning, Madam Chair Stutes and the representatives. Hi, Reed. My husband and I live in Homer, Alaska, where we've raised three kids in the fishing community. I currently work several jobs. The first is the bookkeeper and payroll administrator for Bulletproof Nets, our company, and that employs 14 people building commercial fishing nets, many of whom themselves are crewmen or participate in fishing-related industries in the off-season. I also work with Zen Kelly of Homer Business Services. Some of you may have met him earlier this week because he visited the Capitol for the first time. He's our district's newest school board member. Here, I do bookkeeping, payroll, crew settlements, IFQ leases, captain crew, and owner support for many fishing vessels. This includes crab, cod, salmon tendering, herring, hazmat charters, and then our family also seines in Kodiak for salmon in the summer. I've been a fisherman's wife and a crew mama for a long time. My husband first worked as crew in 94. And in 2004, we bought a lower Cook Inlet seine permit and a little seiner. Prior to this, and concurrently, I was working as a certified medical assistant from 1996 on. I worked in family practice, some pediatrics, and then from 2002 to 2007, I worked for an orthopedic surgeon here in Homer as a medical assistant and x-ray tech, and in 2003, began working for an adjacent family practice. I left there in 07 to focus on the growing needs of Bulletproof and our own fish-related endeavors, and began to work with Zen, where my work in the fisheries just expanded. I think I will be a valuable addition to the Fisherman's Fund Advisory and Appeals Council. I'm committed to the health and longevity of our sustainable Alaskan fisheries. I'm a UFA member, NPFA, Marine Trades of Homer, and I'm definitely a participant in the fisheries politics and support. I adore the owners, captains, crew, and support people that participate in the fisheries. My knowledge of medical terminology and processes, plus my understanding of the fiscal, emotional, physical, logistical demands of fishermen and their families and the communities, I think will be a good base to be a well-rounded addition to the board. And after years of wrangling crew members and children, I'm intuitive and compassionate and perceptive, and I'm ready to listen and to contribute to the board. That's me.
Great. Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Ms. Allward from this committee? Okay, seeing none, I have no... Is there anyone here that would like to testify? No public testimony? I will close testimony, and may I have a motion to approve Ms. Allward for the Fisherman's Fund Advisory Panel.
Madam Chair, I move to approve Renee Allward for the Fisherman's Fund Advisory Council and move her name forward.
With that, Ms. Allward is approved for the House Fisheries Committee, and her resume is forwarded to the joint session. Thank you, Ms. Allward.
Thank you very much.
Next up, we have Israel Payton for the Board of Fisheries. Mr. Payton, please state your name for the record and begin your presentation.
Good morning. My name is Israel Payton. I'm 37 years old. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I was a home birthed in a 12-by-12 trapper's cabin at the base of Alaska Range, and me and my three other siblings were raised in the remote community of Squintna. We lived a subsistence way of life, and were taught to only take what you need and never waste anything. Related to the fisheries and the Board of Fish and Board of Game process, I've been an active member of a advisory committee to the board for 6 years. I've participated in Board of Fish, Board of Game, Joint Board, North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, Dall Sheep Working Groups, and many other fish and game meetings. I have good relationships with the fish and game staff and managers, other board members, and other ACs. I have fished and traveled throughout Alaska, and I think I have a good understanding of a lot of the fisheries and areas of Alaska. I have worked as a fishing guide in the past, but it's been about 11 years since I've made any income related to fisheries. Currently, I work for an aviation company, and that allows me to travel throughout the state and meeting with people. I've worked as a boat builder and a welder, a hunting guide, a tour guide, a North Slope worker, home builder, and various other jobs being raised in Alaska. I think the fish and game process is very unique and it's special to Alaska. It allows an individual to submit a proposed regulation and be vetted in a public process and ultimately put into regulation. I believe our process is very unique and special and the best in any of the other states. I believe strongly in that process, and I want to see it approved upon and continue with new people coming into it, and I always encourage other users to get involved in the board or fish and game processes. And I think I'd be a good board member and bring a very unique Alaskan perspective to the board. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions from this committee? Seeing none, I will open up public testimony. We have, it appears as two people online. I'm not sure if you want to testify for Mr. Payton or Mr. Ruffner. Please keep your testimony to 3 minutes or less. Mr. McGahan in Nikiski.
Thank you, Senator Chairman. My name is Richard McGahan, Sr. I started fishing and cooking in 1955. I'm still fishing here. I drift for 39 years. Now I own a set net site with my youngest daughter. And I think we need some biology in our system, not sport fishing guides. Therefore, I am absolutely against Payton being on the board. I don't like the Juno abdicating the Board of Fish. I think we need biologists. We need an old commercial fisherman from Cook Inlet that knows the system and knows what has to be done. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions from this committee? Seeing none. Thank you, Mr. McGahan. Mr. Sturman, did you wish to testify on?
This is Fred Sturman. I'm against Payton, and I have been fishing in Cook Inlet for close to 50 years, and we still fish our beach site, and we started fishing that 45 years ago. And we're newcomers on there, and we need biologists on there. So I'm against Payton, and I thank you a lot.
Questions?
Yeah.
Representative Millett.
So my question, I guess, for the past two testifiers, if they're both still online, so are you opposed to Israel Payton because he's not a biologist, or are you opposed to him because he's not from Cook Inlet? I'm just curious on what your opposition is. The first testifier stated that he was opposed because he wasn't from Cook Inlet and needed an, can't remember what he referred to, an old guy fisherman from Cook Inlet. So is it mostly the regional dispute, or is it the scientific, lack of scientific background, or both? I'm just looking for clarification on why you oppose Israel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Richard McGahan here. I'm against it because we need someone from here from the Cook Inlet that's been in this fishery for a long time and that's interested in our fishery for our families here. Therefore, I'm against baiting. He's been guiding on the Kenai River or on the river system. He's been in the sports fishery for a long time. I'm a sports fisherman myself, but I'm a family fishing family here in Cook Inlet and have been since 1955. Therefore, I think we need a biologist. We need someone with some science on this board that can run this commercial fishery and cook in it the way it's supposed to by the state law. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Fred Sturman again to the chairman. I'm pretty well with Richard there. We haven't had nobody on the fish board from Cook Inlet for years and years, and I think it's time to have somebody from Cook Inlet that's a biologist that's been around here and cooking it for years and understands our problems we've got instead of other people. And so that's the reason that I'm against Peyton. I don't even know the man, but I'm just saying that we need biologists instead of people of special interest. And thank you.
Follow-up?
Okay, so I guess what I'm hearing from both men is that you want a biologist, commercial fisherman from Cook Inlet, and someone that's not a sports fisherman.
No, ma'am. We want a biologist. We're not kicking that deal. We want somebody that understands fish and will use the fishery at its maximum amount of yield to the sports fishermen and the commercial fishermen. We haven't had that. It's been that the commercial fishermen have been shut down like last year. We were shut down on the 13th because they start telling when the fish is going to quit running on the 13th, and we let nearly a million fish up the river last year, and that is ridiculous. It should have been used, it should have been caught, and the money should have been used in the community instead of setting the deadlines of the 13th as the end of the fishery. Thank you.
Thank you.
One follow-up.
Follow-up, Representative. But let me take this one opportunity to acknowledge that Representative Christ Tompkins has joined us.
And this might be a question for Commissioner Cotton. Was the closure for the Cook Inlet fishery a Board of Fish decision, or was it a Department of Fish and Game decision? The closure last year on the commercial fishing that he's speaking of. Yeah, if you could.
Who is the question to, Madam Chairman?
To the Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game, Commissioner Cotton, who is here with us.
Thank you,
welcome.
Madam Chairman. Sam Cotton, Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game. The Board of Fisheries describes and very carefully writes a management plan that we attempt to follow to the letter. There are opportunities to take other things into consideration, but most often, and I don't have the management plan right in front of me, I wasn't expecting the question about the 13th there, but the Board of Fisheries writes the management plan.
Follow-up, Representative Millett?
So the closure comes from the management plan, based on the management plan, but the closure was done by Fish and Game, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. I'm going to take this quick moment to read out of the Alaska statutes, 16.05.221, Board of Fish and Game. The governor shall appoint each member on the basis of interest in public affairs, good judgment, knowledge and ability in the field of action of the board, and with a view to providing diversity of interest and points of view in the membership. So these appointments are not made based on regions. I just want to have that clarification on the record. Thank you, Commissioner. We have one more testifier at the Kenai LIO, Paul Shadura.
Correct, Representative Stutz, that's Shadura. Anyway, thank you, Chairman Stutz and committee members of the House Special Committee on Fisheries, the South Cape Beach Independent Fishermen's Association, SOCAI, is a community group consisting of those individual commercial set net fishermen who seek to harvest salmon, primarily migrating to the Kasilof River and Cook Inlet. The selection and confirmation of Alaska Board of Fisheries members is a vital concern to our interests. The Board of Fish directs managers to conserve, which has been defined in the courts as the controlled utilization of a resource to prevent its exploitation
destruction, or neglect. Equally as important is the other directive, which is to develop, which connotes management of a resource to make it available for use, both to be considered in a balance. And Alaska Statute 1605-221, the Board of Fisheries and Game, the Governor, and the Legislature have direction in that each member shall be selected on the basis of interest in public affairs, good judgment, knowledge, and ability in the field of action of the Board with a view to providing diversity of interest and points of view in membership. In the Governor's press release, 2/2/2016, he states, the Board will ensure the resources managed for the maximum benefit of Alaskans. We support the concept of managing for maximum sustained yield, MSY. We would add that by establishing this as the mission of the Board of Fish, that this cannot happen without the full support of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Commercial fishing is a baseline economy of Alaska. By and large, offers an economy to 71% of Alaska that they would not have access to if they live within our largest community. Salmon fishermen in Alaska are overwhelmingly made up of residents. The benefits of salmon industry does not stop with the 730,000 residents of our state. We supply a healthy, sustainable protein source for all those Americans who are not so lucky to live on our Alaska land. We are pleased with the Governor's attempt to balance the talents of ideas, values, and expertise. Having said this, we are concerned that by losing the knowledge and history of having a Bristol Bay commercial fishing experienced person on the board will damage their collective abilities to make vital decisions based on the best available information. However, we do not hold our support for any of these appointees. Rather, we support moving forward with possibly new ways to reconstruct the board process to better align it with the complex issues that were not possible to address 60 years ago by our state's constitutional conveners. It is our belief that it is time that we take a serious look on ways to improve the process, to take the contentiousness away from the individual board member appointments, to give them the tools and the assistance to make clear, open, transparent, and well-informed decisions. With that, the collective voice of Sockeye fully support the appointment to the Alaska Board of Fish of Alan Kane, Israel Payton, and Robert Ruffner. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions from this committee? You have one? Representative Millett.
So just, I asked the last folks that testified, so you are looking for a fisherman from Bristol Bay to be on the Board of Fish. Is that what I'm getting from your testimony?
I am not looking for any individual region as specified in statute. It's not specified in statute for region. I'm looking for the expertise that's so important to the commercial fisheries of the state. Number one employer of the state, billions of dollars of money. Legislature is looking at us to assist with curing the state's funding problems. You know, it needs to remain strong, and there's so many complex issues, so many diverse interests and ideas in so many different parts of the state that the commercial fishing knowledge and the history and the experience is so important for Board of Fisheries members to have a keen interest and understanding of that to make valid decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Any further questions from this committee? Seeing none, we thank you for your testimony. And we will move on to off-net. We have Birch. You could, if you would state your full name, I'm not going to try the last name.
That's okay. I get slaughtered a lot. My name is Birch Eukness. I'm up here in Wasilla. I'm here speaking for myself. I do serve on the Mat-Su Fish and Game Advisory Committee, and I've worked with Israel for the last year on that committee. I'm here to voice my support for Mr. Payton. He always listens to both sides. He does his homework, and I feel that all Alaskans would benefit from him being on the Board of Fish. We may not always agree, but he always listens. Short and sweet, and thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions? For Mr. Eukness. Thank you, Mr. Eukness. We appreciate your testimony. Is there any further testimony? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. No further questions from this committee. May I have a motion to approve Mr. Payton for the Board of Fishery?
Madam Chair, I move to approve and forward Israel Payton's name for the Board of Fisheries onto the full legislature.
Thank you, Representative Millett. With that, Mr. Payton is approved by the House Fisheries Committee, and his resume is forwarded to the joint session. And our last appointment for the day is Robert Ruffner for the Board of Fisheries. Mr. Ruffner, welcome back.
Well, thank you, and good morning, Madam Chairwoman Stutes. For the record, this is Robert Ruffner. I reside in Soldotna, and I'm humbled to be here for the second time in as many years to take another shot at this. So, to be brief and recap what I said last year, which is, you know, none of which has changed, except that I'm now 47 years old. I'm still married for 23 years now. I have two daughters in grade school. I'm a graduate of the University of Minnesota, where I studied geology and river mechanics as a primary focus. And that brings you to one of the things that I think in terms of expertise that I might bring to the board is that I have a fair amount of experience working with data and statistics and numerical modeling, which is all of which is important and helps us as potential board members to inform our decisions. And having had that academic experience and then practicing it for the past 20 years in fisheries conservation with habitat, I think that is a valuable skill set that I will bring to the board if I'm confirmed this year. In terms of interest in public affairs, I serve on the Kenai Peninsula Borough's Planning Commission and Road Board, and I really enjoy that. You know, we deal with some contentious issues here in the borough, just like everybody else does across the state. And so hearing public testimony and weighing that testimony against the decisions that we need to make is something that I've come to enjoy and would look forward to being able to practice that in the fisheries arena. Lastly, I will keep this brief and just close with saying that I understand the statutes that are set forth for us as board members as they're laid out in 1605.25E with the seven allocation criteria, and I will adhere to those and couple those with the administrative code, the sustainable salmon policy, which I think is a very good document and will help guide me in my decision-making process. So with that, I will close since I did this last year for several hours, and I'd be happy to take any questions, of course. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions from this committee for Mr. Ruffner? Seeing none, I will open up public testimony. And we have George Pierce in Kasilov.
I feel like I'm talking to a bunch of ostriches, and all I see is butts.
Mr. Pierce? Well, maybe not. Let's go to Richard McGahan in Kenai.
Madam Chairman, thank you for your time and the board there. I would like to see Ruffner on the fish board. He's interested in the river systems. He's interested in the escapement goals. And that's what we need. We need someone that'll be in there that will take care of our resource. And I believe he will do that. My family and I spent a little time with Robert, and he assures us that the things that need to be done for Cook Inlet, he would certainly try to do that. So I would like to see the board pass Ruffner's name on. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from this committee? Seeing none, Mr. Sturman.
This is Fred Sturman, and I'll make mine short. I think Ruffner would do a very good job. I hope you will appoint him. And I won't go into any more history, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sturman. Is anyone else would like to testify on Mr. Ruffner? Seeing none and hearing none, I will close public testimony. Are there any further questions from this committee? Seeing none, may I have a motion to approve Mr. Ruffner for the Board of Fisheries?
Madam Chair, I move to approve and move Robert Ruffner's name forward for the Board of Fish to the full legislative committee.
Thank you. With that, Mr. Ruffner is approved by the House Fisheries Committee, and his resume will be forwarded to the joint session. We will now, the next on the agenda is House Bill 330, Fish, Shellfish Hatchery Enhancements and Projects. If you would, 300. Typo. House Bill 300, sorry. If you would step forward for your presentation, gentlemen. Before we go further, there is a draft committee substitute, 29GH2653-W. May I have a motion to adopt version W as the working document?
Madam Chair? I would like to move the CS for CS for House Bill 300, version 29-GH2653-W, as in whiskey.
Thank you. And I will object for purposes of discussion. Thank you. Before we go any further, I'd like to note a typo in Section 4, Version W of the sectional. The sectional should say commission, as in the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, and not commissioner, which it states, as in the Department of Fish and Game. This was a typo, and the bill still has the CFEC issuing special harvest area entry permits to nonprofits that hold Department of Fish and Game issued permits under AS 16-12-010-199. That said, would the department please put themselves on the record and explain the changes to the bill?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Sam Cotton, Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Thank you for having the bill heard today. The purpose of the legislation is to allow the Department of Fish and Game to permit shellfish enhancement and rehabilitation projects, as well as the construction and operation of shellfish hatcheries by nonprofit corporations for the purpose of enhancing and rehabilitating shellfish fisheries. The goal is to help the state's economy by providing a method to increase available harvest of shellfish. This bill was originally inspired by a lot of stakeholder input, a lot of interest in pursuing this goal, and our staff recognized that there was probably a need for additional statutory authority, hence the introduction of the bill. We've had good support from the industry. You may be hearing that later during your hearings as well, but UFA, some of the CDQ groups, AFDF, a lot of pretty broad support for the same reasons, for the same goals. I'm going to ask Deputy Director Forrest Bowers to walk through the recommended changes to the original bill that I understand will now be contained in your committee substitute. And then also I'd like to introduce, in case there are technical questions, Sam Raybung, who is our chief of our aquaculture section at the Department of Fish and Game, who's also the department's designee for the recently announced Mariculture Task Force that the governor announced in Administrative Order 280. So Mr. Raybung's in the audience should you have technical questions, but if you would allow, then I would ask Mr. Bowers to present the changes to the legislation.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bowers. Welcome. Please state your name and your affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Forrest Bowers, Deputy Director, Division of Commercial Fisheries. When we first discussed this bill in Senate Resources Committee, there were a number of changes that came out of that, and the changes mainly came from comments that we heard from the public related to confusion over some of the definitions and terms used in the first draft of the bill. Initially, there was a focus on hatcheries, fish hatcheries was a term that we used, and you know, in Fish and Game, we know that fish means shellfish, but that was confusing to the general public. And we also heard from the public that there was interest in, you know, enhancement and shellfish rehabilitation, shellfish fishery rehabilitation, not just hatcheries. And so the bill was changed to reflect those comments. We thought those were good comments, valuable additions. And so the title of the bill was changed to reflect that. It now references shellfish stock rehabilitation and fishery enhancement. A new paragraph was added prohibiting a permit holder from procuring or placing genetically modified shellfish into the waters of the state. That was an amendment that came from one of the Senate Resource Committee members. Language was revised to clarify that broodstock sources should first come from stocks native to the release area. That was also another committee change. A definition was added for enhancement project. The definition for facility was modified for clarity. A definition was added for genetically modified shellfish. A definition was added for stock rehabilitation. The definition for shellfish was modified for clarity. An immunity from liability clause related to donations of shellfish to a food bank was removed from the bill, and that related to language that allowed a permit holder to donate shellfish that were surplus to broodstock needs to a food bank if that shellfish was apparently fit for human consumption. That language is mirrored, or it was carried forward from the existing salmon nonprofit hatchery program, and the issue there was that shellfish, it's not easy to determine if they're fit for consumption just by looking at them. So that was removed, and then there were numerous other conforming changes that were made throughout the bill to be consistent with the changes that I mentioned previously, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Bowers, and I'll remove my objection, and you can continue with the presentation.
Sure. So I'll walk through a sectional analysis on HB 300, Madam Chair. Section 1 provides the Alaska Board of Fisheries the authority to direct the department to manage production of enhanced shellfish stocks beyond broodstock needs for cost recovery harvest. So that allows permit holders to harvest surplus shellfish for cost recovery. That could happen either through an assessment fee that's applies to fishermen fishing in a special harvest area, or it could be through a traditional cost recovery where the permit holder goes out and harvests those fish or shellfish and sells them themselves. Section 2 is the only part of the bill that doesn't relate directly to shellfish enhancement. It actually increases the permit application fee for a new private nonprofit salmon hatchery from $100 to $1,000, and that's just kind of an update to that fee. That fee has been in place for over 40 years, and that $1,000 fee is mirrored in this bill for shellfish permits as well. Section 3 is really the kind of the heart of this bill, and it relates to the permitting process. It provides direction to the Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game on issuance of permits for private nonprofit shellfish stock rehabilitation and fishery enhancement projects and associated shellfish hatcheries. It establishes a $1,000 permit application fee. It directs the Commissioner to consult with technical experts in the relevant areas before permit issuance. This section also provides for a hearing prior to issuance of a permit and describes certain permit terms, including cost recovery fisheries, harvest, sale, and release of hatchery-produced shellfish, and selection of broodstock sources. And this section also describes reporting requirements and terms for modification or revocation of a permit. Section 4, as you previously mentioned, Madam Chair, provides the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission authority to issue special harvest area entry permits to holders of private nonprofit shellfish rehabilitation enhancement or hatchery permits. Section 5 defines legal fishing gear for special harvest area entry permits, and that typically would be the same gear as what would be used in the commercial fishery in that area. Section 6 exempts shellfish raised in a private nonprofit shellfish project from the farmed fish definition. Sections 7 and 8 establish tax exemption for a nonprofit corporation holding a shellfish hatchery rehabilitation or enhancement permit. Section 9 exempts shellfish harvested under a special harvest area entry permit from certain taxes. That would be the fishery landing tax or the fishery business tax. Section 10 establishes an effective date of the fee for salmon hatchery permits previously described. Section 11 authorizes the Department of Fish and Game to adopt implementing regulations, and Sections 12 and 13 also relate to implementing dates, Madam Chair. And if I could just add that, we structured this bill after the existing salmon private nonprofit hatchery program to the extent that we could. We pulled in as many of those elements from the existing statutes as possible, and so there's a lot of similarities there, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Bowers, for your presentation. Are there any questions from this committee for Mr. Bowers? Seeing none, I will open public testimony. Is there anyone that would like to testify? Please come forward. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Heather McCarty, and I am a fisheries consultant here in Juneau. One of my clients is the Central Bering Sea Fishermen's Association, which is the CDQ entity for St. Paul Island and the Pribilofs. And this entity, CBSFA as we call it, has been part of another group called ACRAB. That's the acronym for Alaska King Crab Research, Rehabilitation, and Biology Program, which was started in 2006 by a coalition of public and private folks, including the university, the feds, the stakeholders in the Bering Sea, including several CDQ groups. APICTA, one of the other six groups, and Norton Sound has also been part of our group, so that's three out of the six CDQ groups that's been supportive of this program since the beginning. I am the co-chair of the steering committee of ACRAB, which is an informal coalition. It's not a nonprofit at this point. It's not an entity that has sort of legal standing. It's just a coalition of stakeholders and concerned scientists. The other co-chair is Dr. Ginny Eckert, who is with the School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences here in Juneau, and she's a crab biologist. I believe she's on the line, and I think any real science questions can be directed to her. She's the most eligible for those kinds of questions. We are one of the stakeholders collectively. ACRAB and my group, CBSFA, are some of the stakeholders who have encouraged the Department of Fish and Game to put together this set of rules to guide the development of shellfish enhancement into the future. We are at the stage where we have done the science, we've done the research in genetics and ecology. We believe that blue king crab and red king crab can both be hatched and reared in a hatchery setting to the size where they can be safely released into the wild to enhance the current stocks. As you may or may not know, the red king crab in the Gulf of Alaska, which used to be a big support for the Kodiak folks, is basically completely gone. It's declined to the point where there's been no commercial fishery on that red king crab for more than two decades. The Pribilof Island blue king crab, same thing. That's the blue king crab that used to be caught around the Pribilof Islands where CBSFA is, and hence the interest of those groups in the Pribilof Islands to try to enhance our way out of that situation. It hasn't been fished for, again, more than two decades, but in spite of no fishery, there has been no resurgence of that stock. And that's the reason that ACRAB was put together almost 10 years ago to try to enhance the crab that have basically disappeared from those two areas. The technology that we've developed can, however, be used in other crab species. And there's a tremendous amount of interest in communities and also in the crab industry We have folks on our steering committee who have interest in doing that from the industry side and from the community side. Now it's time to sort of begin the operational part of our project, we hope, and this was one of the first big steps that we needed. We appreciate the department and the administration and the legislature undertaking this, and we do support the version W, which I understand is now the committee substitute for House Bill 300, and we understand that it's aligns with the committee substitute that came from the Senate Resources Committee last week. And again, we appreciate your support for this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions from this committee? Seeing none, thank you. We appreciate your testimony.
Thank you, Representative.
We have, first I would like to take a moment to acknowledge we have a CFEC Commissioner Ben Brown sitting here. Welcome, Ben. We have several people online. We have Seth Bosang, who is from the Department of Law, and he is here for any questions we might have. We have Julie Decker, who would like to testify. Julie?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just great.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to testify. My name is Julie Decker. I am the Executive Director of the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation. AFDF is a nonprofit whose membership is comprised of seafood harvesters, seafood processors, and support sector businesses. And since 1978, AFDF's mission has been to identify problems and opportunities that are common across Alaska's seafood industry and help develop solutions utilizing applied research and development, which balance economic benefits with sustainability principles. AFDF today would like to express our support for HB 300 and the current committee substitute. And AFDF recognizes that this bill is part of a larger effort to develop mariculture in Alaska. One of AFDF's recent projects is to spearhead the Alaska Mariculture Initiative, which is meant to expedite the development of mariculture in Alaska with the vision to grow a billion-dollar industry in 30 years. Governor Walker's recent Administrative Order Number 280 establishes the Alaska Mariculture Task Force and is also a part of this larger effort to develop mariculture. The purpose of the task force is to provide recommendations for a comprehensive plan to develop a viable and sustainable mariculture industry producing shellfish and aquatic plants for the long-term benefit of Alaska's economy, environment, and communities. And part of what, when we talk about mariculture in the state of Alaska, we're talking about enhancement, we're talking about restoration, and we're talking about aquatic farming of shellfish and aquatic plants. That's what's legal in the state. And the enhancement and restoration component is what this bill addresses. So this bill plays an important role because it creates a regulatory framework with which Fish and Game can manage shellfish fishery enhancement, restoration, and hatcheries in a similar fashion as our salmon fishery enhancement program does. This bill will allow interested stakeholders to either continue or begin enhancement and or restoration of species such as king crab, sea cucumbers, goody duck, abalone, or razor clams. I would like to take a moment to briefly address some of the concerns of any negative impacts to wild shellfish from hatchery shellfish. As a client for the Alaska Responsible Fisheries Management, or RFM, certification program, AFDF has a unique position and viewpoint on this issue. On one hand, AFDF hears concerns from fishing from industry that Fish and Game's enhancement policies are too restrictive, increased costs, and slow progress. On the other hand, AFDF is also in the position of facilitating a review of Fish and Game's enhancement policies by independent third-party experts to determine whether they follow internationally accepted standards for sustainably managed fisheries. And Alaska Salmon maintains this RFM certification because of Fish and Game's policies, which are designed around a precautionary approach that prioritizes wild fish and minimizes adverse impacts to wild stocks. Following is just a list, a portion of a list of Fish and Game's enhancement policies.
Okay, Ms. Decker, I'm going to have to ask you to sum it up, if you could, please.
Sure. So, in other words, we're very confident Fish and Game fulfills their constitutional mandate to manage our fishery resources for sustainability. this out close, and we do support this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you kindly for your testimony. Are there questions from this committee? Seeing none, thank you. We will now go to Nancy Hillstrand in Kachemak Bay. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and limit your testimony to 3 minutes. Thank you.
Yes, hello. My name is Nancy Hillstrand. I'm with Pioneer Alaskan Fisheries. We're a Alaskan corporation for 52 years. I do believe that House Bill 300 is good intentioned and sounds feasible, but I do not support this bill. I feel that shellfish need to be separated from a 40-year-old antiquated salmon legislation because I feel that it holds loopholes for abuse and possible fund diversion from the department. The department or this bill needs some independent neutral counsel to aid the commissioner in some of these in these many, many things that need to be done to enhance and rehabilitate stocks of shellfish. And I don't see that in this bill. It seems as though it's kind of like a two-legged stool where you have the PNPs and the commissioner, but we need someone like ACRAB, which is great. I'm glad that ACRAB is there because I think that's a really important part of it, but I think they need to work closer together at least to fund and create this legislation, because right now we're using salmon legislation. So too much burden is placed on one entity, and the regional planning teams, how it's worked over the last 40 years is it seems from my perspective that they have melded into a groupthink, and I think if there's some way that we can, stop that possibility of the potential self-service, I think that's where, if there's any way to prevent that, that would be great. Independent monitoring, I don't see much monitoring. Fish and Game does not have the money to monitor these. For instance, down here in Lower Cook Inlet, some of the salmon streams here have an incidence of 93% hatchery fish in our wild significant stocks. Barabara Creek is 87% from Prince William Sound strays coming all the way over here into Lower Cook Inlet, and that leaves 7% of our of this one river system as being a wild in a wild significant stock, and I don't think that's acceptable. Same with Saldovia Creek, 44% is what they found to be wild when they did otolith marking monitoring. And so who's going to pay for all this monitoring? And I think it's important that we get that into some sort of legislation so that we know who's going to fund this, because it's a very, very expensive project. The red king crab was released in the Barents Sea in 1960, and now it's considered invasive. We need to be, protect against that and be very careful with all the different entities that may, like I say, unwittingly create problems in the ecosystem. Please work with AK Crab and create a legislation that is for shellfish only, and, instead of using this antiquated 40-year-old legislation that this is based on right now. So thank you very much, and I hope to see this go through a little bit more thoughtful and make sure that there's some sort of independent counsel that can help the commissioner and the Department of Fish and Game with more input from the genetics department and the pathology department, and not just one of the people, but many, many people working on it. I don't believe that the hatchery section in Juneau has, we can say it on paper and we can say it.
Thank you. I need you to sum it up, if you would, please.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate you listening to my testimony.
Thank you. Are there any questions from this committee? Okay, seeing none, we will go to Ginny Eckert.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you great.
Great. My name is Ginny Eckert. I have a PhD in a fisheries. I'm a fisheries professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I'm a shellfish expert, and I've been in Alaska since 2000. Since 2007, I worked on king crab rehabilitation. I currently serve as the science director and co-chair with Heather McCarty, who spoke earlier, of the Alaska King Crab Research, Rehabilitation, and Biology Program, which we call ACRAB. I'd like to thank the governor's office and Fish and Game and the legislature for their work on this bill. I and the ACRAB group support the bill, and we provide written testimony to this effect. I believe this bill serves the needs of Alaskans. I personally want to speak to the need for rehabilitation for shellfish, in particular red king crab. Red king crab are native to Alaska. They're iconic to Alaska. In the Gulf of Alaska, six of the king crab stocks, which is all of them, are currently closed to fishing. These fisheries crashed in the early 1980s and have not recovered since for many, many decades. Overfishing was likely the cause of decline, and back in the 70s, fishing rates were very high, including a significant amount of bycatch and trawl fisheries that largely included foreign fleets, which were allowed back in the 1970s. So recently we've conducted a significant amount of research on the feasibility of rehabilitation. We've learned much about the early life history, the first few years of life of king crabs. The outplanting, experimental outplanting that we have done so far has been successful. The efforts that we have undertaken are current places where king crabs basically are gone from the environment. And this bill would allow further research, larger scale efforts to rehabilitate king crab in these areas. Other species that could be enhanced with this bill, as has been mentioned before, include abalone, clams, sea cucumbers, and I believe that there's potential for work in those areas. With that, I'll conclude my testimony, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Seeing none, we will move on to Chris from Apitka. Chris, are you there?
Hear me? Hello.
Okay. If you could speak up just a little bit, we would appreciate it.
Can you hear me now, Madam Chair?
Perfect.
Great. So my name is Chris Majake. I'm the Director of Administration for the CDQ Group, the Aleutian Pribilof Island Community Development Association, APITCA. You know, APITCA represents the Western Alaskan communities of Atka, Akutan, False Pass, Nelson Lagoon, Nikolsky, and St. George. The primary purpose of APITCA is to provide economic opportunities for representative communities through fishing activities. APITCA supports the version W of the bill that you're presenting today. APITCA also supports the activities at CRAB. We're associated with at CRAB somewhat. And you heard the testimony from both Heather McCarthy and Ginny. At CRAB also supports the activities of the Alaska Fishery Development Foundation through their mariculture expansion in Alaska. And in general, PITCA believes that the development of this legislation for shellfish enhancement is a positive step to generate mariculture opportunities in our region, Western Alaska, and all coastal communities of Alaska. And I'd just like to thank you for providing me the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions from this committee? Seeing none, is there anyone else who would like to testify on this? Seeing no one, I will close public testimony. Is there any further discussion from this committee?
Madam Chair, if I may.
Representative Ortiz.
This is, I guess, an open question to anybody who might choose to respond. How would something like enacting House Bill 300, how would that impact the development of the shellfish industry, enhanced stocks and things like that, in comparison to the ability for the Alaska State Fish and Game to manage sea otter population? In other words, I'm hearing a lot from my constituents about the sea otter issue and the impact that they're having on shellfish in general throughout at least southern southeast Alaska. I think it's probably throughout most of Alaska. It seems to me that, you know, I don't know if it would be more effective, more cost effective or not, but if we were ever have the ability to do something about the sea otter population, that might have more of an impact, perhaps, I don't know, that's my question, than something like CS or something like House Bill 300. So that's just a question.
Thank you.
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz.
Identify yourself, please, for the record.
For the record, Forrest Bowers, Deputy Director, Division of Commercial Fisheries.
Thank you.
Certainly, sea otters are limiting shellfish production in parts of the state, and we recognize that. And so that I think that acknowledgement would, you know, the nexus there between that acknowledgement and something like HB 300 are that, well, maybe, you know, those areas that have been impacted by sea otters, you know, might be good places to do rehabilitation in the future, you know, if especially if, you know, if sea otters have moved out of those areas because, you know, they've eaten themselves out of house and home, so to speak. But I think that, you know, some of the stocks that have been impacted by sea otters, abalone, for example, you know, that those are candidate species for rehabilitation, certainly, Madam Chair.
And just to follow up, when we talk about rehabilitation and restoration, is there a difference between that and the way that those two things are accomplished? That's my question.
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, again, Forrest Bowers, Deputy Director, Division of Commercial Fisheries. In the bill, we talk about stock rehabilitation and fishery enhancement. I don't believe we use the term restoration in the bill. That came up in public testimony. We use stock rehabilitation and fishery enhancement. And so stock rehabilitation would be an example of that would be where we permitted a project in an area where a native species pretty much had been extirpated or nearly extirpated. And so rehabilitation would be to build that up again to natural production levels. Enhancement relates to a fishery, and so enhancement would be an effort to boost production above natural levels for additional yield in the common property fishery, and so, you know, that's sort of the, I guess, the most common scenario that we see with our salmon program. Is, I mean, we do both in the salmon program, but most of our projects in salmon are fishery enhancement, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions from this committee? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to move House Bill 300 from committee.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Representative Foster.
Thank you. I would like to move CS for House Bill 300, 29-GH 2653/W, with fiscal notes and any individual recommendations.
Thank you. Seeing no objections, we will move House Bill 300 from committee. And I see there is no further business to come before this committee today. We will meet again on March 29th, Tuesday, and we will take up the appointment for Alan Kane to the Board of Fisheries. And with that, I will adjourn at 11:07.